I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture reading this morning is Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14. The hand of God came upon me, and He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many laying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "Oh, Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' Thus says the Lord God to these bones, 'I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live and you shall know I am Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked and there were sinews on them and the flesh had come upon them and the skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Thank you, Connie. Appreciate that. Oh, this is one of my very favorite passages in Scripture, has been my whole life. I don't know if you can, but if you can imagine seeing bones laying out all over the place and suddenly they start coming together and forming a human skeleton, that is so amazing to me. Some of you are pretty young. You may not remember this. But there was a movie called Jason and the Argonauts. And in that movie, one of the greatest scenes to me in that movie is Jason is on this island. He's fighting for his life. And this wizard throws a bunch of bones on the ground. And a bunch of skeletons pop up with a sword and a shield. And they go after Jason. And there's a big fight. And I used to make myself a sword. And I'd go outside and pretend skeletons were popping up out of the yard. And I would fight with them. And I always won. I don't know how that worked, but it did. And as amazing as that is to see that at that time with the technology that they had, when I read this passage, you know, this isn't skeletons popping up out of the ground. These are bones laying on the ground, and they come together and they make a skeleton. And then God puts sinews on them, He puts flesh on them, and He breathes life into them. That can't help it. That just blows me away to even think about it. I have a great imagination, and I think about this, and I say to myself, He just gave them the Spirit of life. And today's Pentecost, and you can't get any better than that. You put those two together, and that makes for a Pentecost sermon. Putting life into these bones, bringing them together. I got to ask you, have you ever read this passage and in your mind pictured what Ezekiel was seeing? actually seeing all of these, here's the rattling, and they all start coming together, and suddenly they have the sinews, and then they have the flesh. I think Ezekiel had to be overwhelmed. If he wasn't, he should have been. That's pretty amazing. But when was the last time that you were excited reading Scripture? See, that's a big question too. I mean, you read Scripture, do you read Scripture and you're very sullen and you're, amen? Or do you read it and you say, man, that's a great story. I love that. I mean, even when Jesus raises Lazarus, I get excited and I think, oh my gosh, he walks out. He was dead and now he's alive and he's walking out, and it's exciting to think about that. But so many people don't think of Scripture being exciting. They think, oh, well, you just read it. Yeah, it is what it is. But there's a lot of exciting things that we can find in Scripture. I'm sure none of you can remember this, but there was a time before we had refrigerators. Do you know that? I mean, Adam and Eve didn't have a refrigerator. But before they had refrigerators, they had ice houses. How many people have heard of an ice house? And when winter would come, they'd go out and they'd cut the ice out of the lakes and the rivers, and they'd take it to the ice house, and they'd put it in the ice house, which had no windows. It was down in the ground and only had one door to it that was sealed tight, and they'd put sawdust all over the ice. Now, they'd do that in the dead of winter, and sometimes it lasted all the way until the middle of the summer. That's pretty ingenious. But there was this worker one time working in the ice house, and he lost his watch. And he couldn't find it. And he's shuffling around in the sawdust, and he looked everywhere, and he couldn't find it. So some of his friends jumped in, and they began to look around in the sawdust, and they couldn't find it either. Well, they all came out of the ice house. They were getting pretty cold, and they're saying, boy, it's lost. I don't know where it is. But a little boy heard them. He's about 10 years old. And he snuck into the ice house, and he came out with the watch. And all those men said, how did you do that? How did you find that watch? He said, I went in there, and I laid down on the sawdust and got real quiet, and I could hear it ticking. See, that's the thing with Scripture. Oftentimes, we don't listen, and we don't hear it ticking. But Scripture speaks to us, and it speaks very loudly. And this passage speaks to us, and you can hear, if you use your imagination, you can hear those bones rattling. You know something amazing is going on. But we need to calm ourselves. We need to get quiet, and we can hear God. We can hear God moving in our lives. It's an amazing thing, but you've got to be able to be very calm and quiet and listen, and you'll hear God moving. You'll hear the bones rattling. You know, often we do not hear God speak to us because we do not listen well enough. And I hear people all the time, well, God never speaks to me. But I know God does. We miss the amazing in a passage like this because we're focused on the action, not the act. That's another thing that's really important. If we're so wrapped up in the action, we rarely ever see who is doing the action. You watch Gunsmoke. Boy, I tell you what, Marshall Dillon can draw pretty fast. But sometimes you don't see that. You just hear the sound and you see another person fall. Because we get too wrapped up in the action and not the actor. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Wow! Are you really hearing what's happening here? Have you seen one thing that was so completely overwhelming to you that you forgot all that happened before? If you've been in a wreck, which oddly I've been in two of them since I've been here, both of them I got hit from behind, just a note. But at first I couldn't remember what preceded. I just remembered getting hit and flying across the freeway or across the state line in this case. But sometimes it just is so overwhelming, so powerful, you forget what preceded it. And then when you come to your senses and you see it, it amazes you. Some of you are baseball fans. Steve Lyons, who remembers Steve Lyons? Anyone? Well, let me tell you what he's going to be remembered for. And it's unfortunate because Steve Lyons was an excellent baseball player. But what he's going to be remembered for is dropping his pants. I mean, he could have been remembered as a great infielder, as the player who played every position for the Chicago White Sox, as the guy who always dove into first base, as a favorite of the fans who high-fived guys who caught foul balls in the bleachers. He could be remembered as an above-average player, but he won't be. He'll be remembered as the player who dropped his pants on July 16th, 1990. The White Sox were playing the Tigers in Detroit. Lyons bunted and raced down the first baseline. He knew it was going to be tight, so he dove at the bag. Safe! The Tigers pitcher disagreed. He and the umpire got into a shouting match, and Lyons stepped in to voice his opinion. Absorbed in the game and the debate, Lyons felt dirt trickling down the inside of his pants. Without missing a beat, he dropped his pants, wiped away the dirt, and 20,000 jaws hit the bleacher's floor. And as you can imagine, the jokes began. Women at the games, at the White Sox games, would wave dollar bills at him as he came out. No one, wrote one columnist, had ever dropped his drawers on the field. Not Wally Moon, not Blue Moon Odom, not even Heine Mannish. Within 24 hours of the exposure, he received more exposure than he had gotten his entire career. 7 line television and approximately 20 radio interviews. All because he dropped his pants to get the dirt out. We've got this pitcher, Melito Perez, who earlier this month pitched a no-hitter, Lyons stated, and I'll guarantee you he didn't get 2 live television shots afterwards. I pull my pants down and I do 7 shows. Something's pretty skewed for the zany game. All I did is drop my pants. I got more interviews than a guy who played an excellent game. Fortunately for Steve, he was wearing sliding pants under his baseball pants. Otherwise, the game would have been rated R instead of PG-13. Now, I don't know about you, but I can say Steve Lyons, and I'm not even a White Sox fan, nor am I normally appreciative of men who drop their pants in public, but I think Steve Lyons deserves a salute. I think anybody who dives into first base deserves a salute. I never dove into first base, and I played baseball for years. How many guys do you see roaring down the baseline of life more concerned about getting a job done than they are about saving their necks? How often do you see people diving headfirst into anything? How many Christians dive headfirst into Christianity and actually live it and do it to the best of their ability? It's too seldom. Too seldom do we see anything like that kind of dedication, that kind of effort. But when we do, When we see a gutsy human being throwing caution to the wind and taking a few risks, now that's a person worthy of a pat on the back. And Jesus did that. He put himself out there. He dove in head first. And they were trying to kill him from the moment he started his ministry. Ezekiel's watching all of these things happen that God is controlling, that God is making happen. Jesus, sent by God. And look what he made happen. God brought bones together, put sinew and skin on them, then breathed life into them, and Ezekiel was amazed. So amazed, he tells us in detail what he saw and how glorious, how magnificent it was to see. And you can get a visual of this, how overwhelming it was. And I don't know about you, but when I read this, I see it in my mind's eye. But I pray in my heart and mind, even as amazing as it is to envision, I always acknowledge it was God who did it. The action and the actor. There's a lot of action. And it's exciting. Bones coming together, flesh, all of that happening. But you got to remember who did it. If we don't, it's just a story about a bunch of bones. But if you remember that God brought those bones together and God put life in those human beings that God created, then it becomes a different thing. Then it becomes a God not only of us, but a God of Jesus Christ, who breathed life into Jesus and sent Jesus on a mission. God is the Spirit of life. He is the author. He is the creator. The creation of everything is a testimony to the existence of God. A young man told his mother one day he was an atheist, that he didn't believe in God anymore. She quietly responded, "If there is no God, who made the world?" He replied, "Nobody made it. It just happened." A few days later, he came home from school and passed through the kitchen. A sandwich was sitting on the counter. He asked, "Who made the sandwich?" His mother said, "Nobody. It just happened." The young man stopped in his tracks, thought for a moment. Then he said, "I was wrong. Just as there could be no sandwich without a sandwich maker, there can be no creation without a creator." Then there was the Sunday school teacher who was teaching a class of children about creation. "Now, children," she said, "who can tell us what makes the flower spring from the seed?" "God does it," answered one little girl, "but fertilizer helps." And so it does. See, God created us. We add the fertilizer by learning, by studying, by praying, and by being faithful to the Word. That's the fertilizer. God breathed life into these bones. God breathes life into us. We just add a little fertilizer. The Spirit of life is in this congregation. It's in the community and in the world, but we have to listen for it. Hear the bones rattling. Hear God working within our community and within our lives. If we get too busy and all we hear is the noise, then we miss who's making that noise. And that comes from God. This congregation. And you know, I've been here, be 10 years, August. I have seen and witnessed the Spirit of God. This congregation has served this community. This congregation has helped the poor. This congregation has helped each other in tough times. That's what we're talking about. That's the Spirit of life. That's the Spirit that God gave us. When we pull together and we serve God and we serve one another, then we are truly filled with the Spirit of God. Rather than be rattling bones, let us be living examples of God's power and of His Son's ministry by continuing to do those things that we know God has set us to do. Jack was telling you about our kickoff for Sunday school. We need to get our Sunday school going again. We need that spirit in our church. We need to know that people are interested in hearing and learning about the Word of God. We've been through a tough time. But tough times don't last, as Robert Schuller said. Tough people do. Let's be tough people. Come June the 6th, let's come together and start studying the Word of God. Let's come together and hear what our classes have to teach. Let us come together knowing that for the rest of this year, we're going to be doing the ministry of Jesus Christ as we did before the pandemic. The Spirit of life, it's here. Just put a little fertilizer on it. Have some pancakes. That'll help. But it's you who makes the difference. You make the difference. You can choose to follow God or you can choose not to. I pray that you choose the Spirit of life. Bring the bones together. Put the sinews and flesh and breathe life back into Central Christian Church. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we come together this day, we come looking for your Spirit to fill our hearts and our minds, to direct us in a way that will help us live out the ministry that your Son has set us to do. Lord, be with everyone in this congregation, whether they're here or not. Show them the way. Show them your Word. Give them your Spirit. For we ask this in your Son's name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.